wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
My Bible text is, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." These words were spoken by the King himself and directed to one man. This, then, is a very personal message and intended for unique individuals. In the business world, the biggest disappointment is to just about sell a big order, then for it to be deferred and later called off. In the mechanical field, for one to invent a device, but one law of physics forgotten, smashes it all to the junk pile. It is like a farmer banking on his fine crop, but forgetting that it all depends on if it rains, and then witnessing the crop burn up in the drought. But none can compare to the experiences of the true minister of the gospel. I have experienced in my 40 years of aggressive gospel work its joys and its sorrows. As the crowning joy, I have seen convicted sinners who did not stop until they got to Christ in a real Bible experience of salvation. But my deepest sorrow has been to see men and women moved by the gospel as they draw near to the kingdom of God. And then, instead of entering in, they hesitate and draw back to their old lives and end in perdition. This is heartbreaking. My heart has had so many of such breakings, I must try to offset this great tragedy. My message is to those who have been or who are now not far from the kingdom of God. But who are they? They are a select few. But who has selected them? The Holy Spirit has given his clear indication of his great desire to unite them to Christ and to his kingdom. That is why they're so deeply moved. But there must be their own personal response, or else all will be futile and eternal loss. In lands of gospel light, there are those who can well remember a time, or it may be many times, when they were so near the kingdom of God they were but a step from salvation, but they are not yet converted. When our Lord Jesus said to that man, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God," he did not mean that he stood in physical nearness to the king. The multitude around Jesus was as near as he, but that in his soul's experiences, he was at the door of the kingdom of God. There are seven things true of those who are not far from the kingdom of God. As we consider them, I know that some of you will recall them as your own experiences of soul before God. May the Holy Spirit restore such to you even today, and he will, if you earnestly want to feel again as you felt in those days when you are not far from the kingdom of God. I hope you do. These seven things mark out one who is not far from the kingdom of God. First, a mind enlightened. Second, a conscience stirred. Third, a fear felt. Fourth, an experience known. Fifth, a heart moved. Sixth, a voice heard. And seventh, a clock seen. In Mark 12, we read of a scribe. He was a man who wrote the word of God. He came to the Lord Jesus sincerely asking of him what was the first commandment of all. As our Lord showed him that it was to love the Lord God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, and with all the strength, the scribe answered with his hearty endorsement. He also remarked that obedience to God was far better than disobedience, and then trying to appease God with some lamb or goat to cover up the sin, and for them to go back to their sin again. That scribe had seen his fellow Jews thus despise God and his word while they covered it up with their sacrifices. Isaiah, their prophet, told them that such sacrifices were only abomination to God, but they went right on, just like unrepentant men today try to cover their loved wickednesses by their religious offerings and ceremonies. They even try to use the blood of Christ as a cover-up. I would solemnly warn every one of you, now hear me good. The blood of Christ will be no hideout for any unrepentant sinner. It is only the repentant soul that can find shelter and cleansing in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. When people today do their penance, they give their gifts to their church to cover over their sins, and then they go right back into them. They go from the church house to the gambling table. And others say, "We sin every day. No one is perfect." And they thus console themselves. They should tell the truth and say, "We want to sin every day, and we're going to do what we want to, but we will give God a little peace offering to appease him." What a damnable delusion is this. Instead of condemning their sins, they condole them. Instead of coming to God for deliverance from sin, they come to God for an indulgence to continue in sin. This is just satanic suicide for any soul. Don't be fooled by it, neighbor. It is the religion of our day, and great church houses are built by this cover-up sin, money. It is the religion that is making this world a madhouse and is filling hellfire with the wicked. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to turn people from their sins to God. His blood is a shelter only for those who repent of their sins and seek deliverance from them. His death was to give a new life to contrite sinners who want to change and live for God. His resurrection is to be a delivering power from sin's dominion to make one a true servant of God and not to live on in sin. That scribe had an enlightened mind, for he had penetrated the darkness of the religion all around him. He had seen it to be a sham, and he knew it would not meet the demands of a holy God. Neighbor, have you too seen your religion, and your neighbor's too, to be only a hypocritical hideout for sin? Do you long for that which is of God? If so, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. As our Lord Jesus said to that scribe, so he now speaks to you. The second mark of one near the kingdom is that he has a stirred conscience. As Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix's conscience was so stirred, he trembled and told Paul to stop. He just couldn't stand anymore. The publican's conscience was so stirred, he couldn't look up. He was so ashamed of himself as he cried, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. An awakened conscience, as one is smitten with a sense of his own guilt before God, is an evidence that one is not far from the kingdom of God. Neighbor, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Thirdly, there is a fear felt. Even wicked Belshazzar was so moved by fear that his knees knocked one against the other, and he cried out in terror of that handwriting on the wall. The soldiers at the tomb of our Lord were so afraid they became as dead men. Saul of Tarsus, in fear, fell on his face before that heavenly revelation. Neighbor, have you not trembled in fear as you thought of yourself being cast into hellfire and facing that awful judgment and of being left behind when Jesus comes again? No one is near the kingdom of God except as he is moved with fear. Fourth, there is an experience known. The Philippian jailer experienced a heavenly warning in that earthquake that swung open those prison doors. Neighbor, you too have had experiences which you can never forget. They're the kind you don't talk about. In them, God so warned you, you have never been the same since. Martin Luther had lightning strike only a few feet ahead of him. Some were almost drowned. Maybe with you, it was a fatal wreck to the car right in front of you or the plane you had scheduled. Such experiences have a way all their own of speaking to men. Fifth, there is a heart moved. King Agrippa cried as his heart was deeply moved. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Those who are not far from the kingdom of God have a longing of heart, above everything else, to be a real Christian, to be on the Lord's side. Neighbor, you know that you have that heart longing right now. That's why you are listening to my message. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Six, a voice is heard, not just a Bible verse memorized. Whose voice? Listen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. If any say, I don't go for that, the Lord doesn't speak to people today, tell me, is your God a dumb idol? My Savior is the living God who sees and hears and speaks. Those who have never heard his voice are yet afar off from his kingdom. But some of you well remember how you heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You heard that voice, the voice of Jesus, your Lord and Savior. He was calling to you. Truly, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Seventh, a clock is seen. On its dial you saw these words, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You realize that God meant business. It was a matter of now or never, to be saved now or lost forever. And as you gazed on the message of that clock, God's clock, a solemn voice whispered in your ear. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. Neighbor, no one could be nearer the kingdom of God than such. To those who have experienced these seven things, our Lord Jesus would tenderly look you in the eye and say, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, and his heart longs to take you in and make you his very own. To you, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He pleads with you, saying, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for he knows he must soon, very soon, shut that door, and you'll be shut out forever. Centuries ago, as Noah preached and as God's Spirit strove with men, I am sure that many were moved and came very near to entering in. But when the flood came, they were in that crowd outside the ark shut door, not only the defiant and wicked, but also all those who were once so near to entering in. And so will it be when Jesus comes again. Neighbor, you're near eternity and nearer the coming of Jesus Christ, nearer than you have ever been. You may remember a time when you felt near God's kingdom, but you may never again be as near as you are today. Never be as near again. I beseech you to enter in and be saved today. But what happened to that scribe? We search and find no trace of him beyond this record. Can it be that he did not enter in? Oh, neighbor, take warning, for in hellfire there are so many who are once not far from the kingdom of God. Don't you add to their ranks, but enter into the kingdom of God today. Don't stop till you get to Christ and know that you're in his kingdom by being born again. For Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Not far from the kingdom of God is not enough. Ye must be born again and thus enter into God's kingdom. Don't stop today until you know that Jesus Christ is your own Lord and Savior, and you have been born again and thus have entered into the kingdom of God. Amen.
Neighbor, be warned by this Bible verse. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Some, once so near the kingdom, draw back unto perdition. Their decision was to reject or neglect God's salvation. Don't you be in that big crowd. But others, in faith, enter into the saving of the soul. Today is the day of decision, and that decision will make today the day of your salvation or the day of your damnation. In trembling fear and in intense earnestness, cry, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I cannot save myself. Lord Jesus, save me as I call upon thee to be my Lord and my Savior. I will not turn back, but I turn to thee to trust thee alone to save me. My Lord Jesus will not leave you in your distress. He will save you, and you will feel in your heart and soul that he has made you another trophy of his saving grace. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.